everyone, welcome to Pinken.com Norwich City podcast number 360. It's like City 360 all over again. Welcome to Arch and Towers for those watching. Welcome to Arch and Towers for those listening. That's fine, it carries both ways. We are here to talk about Norwich City's Premier League fixtures, which have been released today for the 2019-20 season. Of course, we haven't done one of these for a little while, so we figured we'd do a bit of catch-up. We might talk about memberships, and we might talk about transfer rumours, but we will be quite tight with time. But we are on fixture release day, so it's very exciting. We're in the afternoon now, though, so we're not quite as excited as we were. And me and Paddy have just done a Q&A, so we're probably slightly less excited than we were for that as well, but it's absolutely fine. As you know, I'm with Chief Norwich City correspondent Paddy Davitt. Hello, Pat.
Michael, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. You well?
Very well, yeah.
Good, good to hear. And our data and innovation manager.
It's easy for you to say, Michael.
Peter Raven.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I like your shirt.
Cheers.
That one that only works on YouTube, but that's absolutely fine. So, as always, let us know if you want to get in touch with us. The email address is thepinken@archant.co.uk. You can make sure you don't miss a single podcast by subscribing. Most of that, all those details you should need will be on the website, pinken.com/podcast. We're not going to bother with the quiz.
No, let's save that.
We need a new book. Do you reckon?
Yeah, we need a new book. Not back by popular demand.
Yeah.
We need a new book, don't we? Really, Premier League upgrade everywhere you look. So
this is true. I mean, in fair play, there is
how you upgrade on that book. I don't know.
The football quiz book. I think that was what it was called. But of course, there is an actual World Cup going on at the moment as well, with the Women's World Cup. So you know, you can enjoy a World Cup rather than us asking a question about it, which is absolutely fine. Let's get into the first port of business then, the fixtures. We know the details. We're not going to go through them spit and whistle, because you can find them out at pinken.com, of course, and you may well already have them synced to your calendar and what have you. But as we've just done it on the Facebook Live pad, let's go to Pete first. Pete, your reaction. Norwich are playing everyone twice, home and away. It's that straightforward, isn't it?
That's pretty much it, but it's a difficult start, isn't it? You've got Champions League winners, Europa League winners and Premier League winners in the first five. Get them out of the way with.
And what was your reaction when you saw the first fixture pop up? Liverpool away, Jurgen Klopp, European champions.
You tweeted, I'll take a draw now.
Yeah, take a point. You always get these games at the start of the season, don't you, with the bigger teams and the smaller ones. Was it, did Huddersfield turn over Man United a couple of seasons ago?
Burnley, does it?
So a bit ring rusty, you never know. I know they've got the Community Shield a couple of days before, but I guess with it being on Sky, we're just going to get Farker versus Klopp overkill for a week, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to get it for 2 months before. Liverpool have also got the Super Cup final, which is like the one-off game where they play the Europa League winners. So they play Chelsea, yeah. In the midweek afterwards, I think. Interesting what Pete says about Huddersfield. Huddersfield, I think they picked up 9 points from their first three games, or 7 points from their first three last season. The season before.
Yeah.
And that was effectively enough to keep them up. You know, we're talking about early in the season, but in the Premier League, if you pick up some points, it can make a massive difference, guys.
I think, yeah, I mean, I might be proven wrong, but I think the first game they had was Palace away, and I think they caught Palace cold a little bit, and obviously carried that bounce on. They came up through the playoffs, but clearly that momentum and confidence, which you know that this group under Farker have got. That said, though, it's a hell of a challenge to go to Liverpool and get anything. And as Pete says rightly, you know, Newcastle at home next, then they go to Stamford Bridge, then West Ham away. Sorry, never, you wouldn't think, be an easy place, and then fifth game of the season, Man City champions roll into town. So, but that's what they signed up for. That's what it was all about. That's what all the open top bus tour and Mad Dog Mayor McLean leads to is to today, firstly, and then now it's, as I say, we'll probably be roundly sick of Liverpool, Klopp, Farker et al. Come August the 9th, but this is the only place to be, and you'll see that now, because as we get to that game and then on the game itself, the coverage will be off the Richter. You know, this is global now. Norwich are, as Pete likes to say, massive, and they are now. And they need to enjoy it and embrace it, and that's why it's good. You know, Daniel Farker, some quotes gone out on the club website there at lunchtime on fixture release day. We're not scared. You know, this is what we were working for. We'll embrace it, and we're not just going to be there and go there as tourists. For Liverpool, read every other game they play this season. They're going to go there and try and show they're good enough to compete at this level, and hopefully, when the guns fall silent next May, still be in the division. So, yeah, it's exciting times.
I think the Chelsea game is at Carrow Road, but it doesn't alter the point that, you know, we don't really know a lot of
Chelsea,
what these
Chelsea games at Carrow Road?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think that's right, isn't it? Both Jack, both the Carrow Road. But I mean, it doesn't alter the point that we don't quite know what these sides are going to look like, do we? I mean, we don't know who's going to be in charge of Newcastle or Chelsea at the moment. And I suppose you never quite know. Sorry, I remember this time last season, I reiterated my saying, which was, "Oh, you look along the fixtures. If you can't see a weak side, it means you're one of the weak sides." And then they went and won the title. So, you know, Feb, it's really hard to read it. And we can talk about the running as well, can't we? And, you know, we obviously have a rough idea that playing Chelsea and Man City in your last three games is going to be, you know, you don't really want to be asking and trying to get points necessary to survive, but you never quite
dusted. I remember when Johnny Howson just decided to walk through the whole Man City team because everything was done by then. So hopefully City will be safe by then, and if not, Man City will be safe.
I mean, maybe Pep will have left by then. We don't know. There's all sorts of chatter as well. Any other bits of the fixture list that catch your eye, Pad? I mean, the thing I would suggest, we haven't actually got the fixture list in front of us, which is a bit of an oversight. Have you actually seen them, Pete?
Yeah, I think there's, is it March? I think it's Southampton and Brighton and possibly November, what we'd call the weaker sides. I guess with the tough opposition at the start, Farker's got a bit of a free hit in the sense that you wouldn't expect anything from Liverpool. But say,
there you go.
if we had, say, like, the teams that came up with us and Brighton at the start, and we'd come away with 0 points from those, you'd think,
exactly.
But yeah, it's a couple of free hits, as it were.
It is swings and roundabouts, isn't it? Because I remember when Norwich went up in 2003-04, so the 4-5 season, they had Palace at home first game, and people were like, "Oh, we need to win this game, really. We've got Palace at home." I think Palace might have gone up that year as well, or they were, you know, expected to struggle, and it was a 1-1 draw, and immediately they're like, "Oh, we already feel like we're on the back foot," and you've already played one game. And likewise, when Cameron Jerome's goal was ruled out,
and they lost 14-15, and one of Houghton's first. I think Houghton's first game was the Everton game, wasn't it? Which, again, they didn't draw that.
They drew that.
Ricky scored that day, didn't he, on his debut? But,
Tony was there.
Yeah, so.
Well, I'm glad you dressed today, Tony.
But it's true. It's true what Pete says, because if say, it was Sheffield United first game and they didn't get the positive result, then it does. That takes a lot of air out of what they're bringing up from the Championship, and the positivity would definitely take a dent. So I would rather look at it and think, yeah, well, they're tough fixtures, but they are, to an extent, games that won't decide Norwich's fate. That's the reality of it. However much people want to dispute it, it really is five, maybe six clubs, and the rest, there isn't a huge differential in terms of the range of quality on any given weekend. Whereas that, certainly five clubs, probably United, need to pull their finger out and have to get back in the mix. But they would have to have a very, very poor day for Norwich to get anything from those games, and that's the reality. It's not being defeatist, that's the reality.
It feels like April is a kind of pre-running opportunity for Norwich to do whatever they need to do, and I do like the fact, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I like the fact that Burnley is the last home game and it's sandwiched between two tough ones, because at least you're not left with, say, what Norwich had a few years ago, which was four really tough games where you were asking for basically what you just said you shouldn't bank on, which you can in other divisions. You can all, as I said, you can all check out the fixtures over at pinken.com. They're all there for you to see. Maybe Tony will flash them up on you on the screen while we're going. Maybe he's already done it. Not flash that. Everything else. I've too many naked jokes. So that's all good. I've mentioned it on the Q&A. You're going to have a nice Boxing Day back home in the Midlands, in the same city that Coventry are playing in, but we won't maybe touch on that too much.
This wouldn't be a very short podcast if we open that can of worms. But that works for me. And then whip back to Norfolk for, I'll just double check, but I think it is Palace, isn't it? Palace and Spurs. Other way around, Spurs and Palace, yeah. So if you're a Norwich fan looking over the festive period, you'd probably take that in terms of the travel.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at March as well, Sheffield United away and Southampton, Everton at home isn't the toughest sort of run of fixtures. And then if you look at the last, five home games, Southampton, Everton, Brighton, West Ham and Burnley.
Just a couple of 15 points, just exactly what someone said on the podcast, but a different way anyway. A couple of other points to pick up on. The Liverpool opening game is on the Friday night, so Norwich Liverpool kicks off at 8 o'clock at Anfield, is the first game of the Premier League. Everyone else then plays on the Saturday or Sunday, so you know, the first goal either end will be scored or not in the Liverpool Norwich game. So that's obviously nice. It means there'll be a full focus on Norwich for that first occasion, which I think is a great platform for the club to try and step up to. There are two, I think, I don't know if there are only two midweek rounds of fixtures, I'm not sure, but Norwich play twice on effectively a midweek game. One of those is Boxing Day, one is in December. So Boxing Day is obviously a little bit different because it's a bank holiday. Those are going to be all those Boxing Day and the round in December, when at the start of December, when Norwich travel to Southampton midweek, are going to be shown on Amazon, apparently. So that's a departure from BT and Sky. It's quite a big thing. Might be a window into what this Premier League is going to look like going forwards. Another little thing to point out is in February, where at the second week of February, is it? At the 8th, as it's written down at the moment, when Norwich host Liverpool, that game might be played on the 15th, because there are basically, it's basically one game week, all 20 teams play, but half of them will play on the 8th weekend and half of them will play on the 15th. Basically, that gives the teams a weekend off, and it's the equivalent of a break, a winter break for the Premier League clubs. That said, a winter break in early February, we might have all been done and dusted by January and December in terms of horrible weather. But there we go. I think that's really the fixtures covered off. We just wait for the TV dates, which will no doubt completely change all of these. I think with a lot of the teams in the Europa League, we've got to expect that there'll be Sundays instead of Saturdays. And the teams in the Europa League next year are Man United and Arsenal.
Wolves got to start at the qualifying stage, whereas those two are already in the groups, aren't they? So I think is it October? Yeah, so United on the 26th home and Arsenal on the 30th of November. I think it's inevitable day will be Sunday games, possibly Monday if TV fancy either of those. So straight away there's two additional tweaks to that list, and it won't be the last, unfortunately.
No, and we all know how it works. I guess Wolves probably kick off next weekend, don't they, if their qualifying starts. It seems to be a ridiculous early time for whenever you have to start qualifying for the Europa League and get your pre-season in. Talking of which, pre-season, as we record, we still don't know the details, do we? Essentially, there's a suggestion that Atalanta will be coming to Carrow Road. I think Birdie suggested there'll be two home friendlies, which I guess will be after the Germany tour, of which there'll be three games, but we only know one of which is Paderborn, and then there'll be a few games before that, but we don't really know, do we, yet?
No, but I think by the end of the week, I think it should become a lot clearer. But that's how it's shaping up. Yeah, Atalanta, I think clearly, was it their official Twitter feed put that out?
No, it was sort of it's been a lot of in the German in the Italian press, because I think they brought out this tour that they're going to do, and it tends to happen with pre-season tours, I guess, doesn't it, that things sort of get leaked before anyone bothers, because I think the clubs are almost more worried about signing things off before they announce them, whereas
absolutely,
press don't care, I suppose, they just go for it. So we'll of course let you know about when all those are confirmed over at pinken.com. Right, today is Thursday. Wednesday was quite a lively day. Norwich launched their memberships. Paddy, you weren't really in and around it, so you might get a free pass.
Well, I feel I wouldn't be able to bring any insight, whereas you spoke to Kent, so you were doing a lot of the analysis, and Pete, being a fan who's directly affected, I think you boys take the stage here.
Go on then, Pete. I mean, what was your reaction? Also, your reaction to the reaction?
It's very mixed, isn't it? I mean, I remember the days of having to go down to the ticket office with a bag full of ticket stubs to get away games.
A bag full? How many did you have?
The club could have handled maybe the communication a bit better, that this was going to happen, not like release it on the morning and then 2 hours later people have got to make a decision, pretty much. Whatever system they're going to come up with, people are going to like it, people are going to hate it. Doesn't affect me a great deal in that I don't go to a huge number of away games. I can see why maybe the away season ticket holders and those that went to a lot of games last year have still got to pay £50 to get into this. I know they'll be them being a priority group, but if Joe Bloggs went to 9 games last season, he's going to be in the same group as someone who didn't even go to any last season. So, but like I said, whatever you do, some people are going to get upset by it. I guess with Liverpool being on Sky, that won't be a great test, but the next away game, West Ham, will be the one where we see how this membership stacks up.
It will. I mean, bearing in mind, Norwich will probably get a 3,000 allocation for that, I guess, because they get either 10% or 3,000, depending on which is lower. I think I've got that right. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's a 60,000-seater, isn't it, at London Stadium. I haven't been there since the Olympics, so I'm looking forward to that one. But, Yeah, it was interesting because you kind of sensed, having got the heads up to try and distill it all, to try and inform everyone of what it was, and so that people could make up their own minds and then react to it as they did, that the club knew that they were going to come in for some stick for some of the things they were doing. And you could sense, putting it together, that, you know, well, if you're going to ask someone to pay for two separate memberships for home and away, if you've got a family of four and they've all got to what, buy home and away memberships, you're looking at 200 quid, 400 quid. So, you know, that's a lot of money.
And it doesn't guarantee you anything.
No, it doesn't. But I did ask them about that, and while they weren't going to cap their membership sales, they said that they should be in hand and they will keep an eye on what they are. But likewise, I think they said the last time they were in the Premier League, they had 14,000 members, yet only Manchester United sold out during the membership window. So the inclination from that is that actually, although you've got a lot of members, it takes a lot to sell out at that point, and therefore season ticket holders and general admission, you know, the public would also get a chance to buy tickets. But proof is in the pudding, of course, and it depends if Norwich are doing well, which they weren't, you know, 3 years ago.
I mean, especially with West Ham and Spurs both being, well, not close, but closest games, they had new stadiums, they won't go in general, they won't even go to see stickers, and I think that'll just be the first two windows will snap them up.
So I think if you spoke to someone from the club now, I think they would appreciate, A, they didn't give it probably a long enough window, and they probably didn't communicate it well enough, or albeit I think we did, I think, and when the information was there, I think they probably feel they didn't consult enough with fans, because they got a small group of fans that they spoke to about it like a week or so before, but they didn't speak to the fans groups, and maybe some of the issues might have been ironed out a little bit more, which I guess, given the transparency of the club and things like that, it's kind of been there in recent times. That's almost why this has been a bit of a surprise, I suppose, that it's been done how it has been.
Yeah, I mean, the consultation is a major oversight, because this is quite a seismic change in terms of, you know, a demand for tickets, which of course is going to be there because they're now in supposedly the best league in the world, and up against some of the superstars and superstar clubs and managers. So,
and tickets is probably the most sensitive area to fans, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it is a shame to see, taking a temperature from social media, that there is a sense that a lot of the good work has been undone in this period, because we can all recall not that far ago, maybe under the sort of Jez Moxie era and towards the end of David McNally's tenure, that there was a disconnect and it wasn't great, and it felt a little bit toxic off the pitch, and really that had been washed away. Helps, of course, when there's a team on the park you can get behind as a supporter, but I think it'd be a bit of a stretch to say that all of that work's been undone. I think it's obviously quite raw and people are still digesting it. We're only sort of 2 days on from it, so I think that, as you boys have discussed there, the test will be when we get to that, maybe that West Ham game the first time, and how it plays out, and if it's working in practice or can be seen to be working in practice. I think as we progress through the season, there'll probably be a general acceptance, but your point is valid, Michael. I think if they had their time again, there's certainly aspects of this whole thing they would do slightly differently.
And as long as they learn, it's perfectly fine. Pete, you've got to go. I think we're going to wrap this up now. I appreciate we said we were going to talk about transfers, but there isn't any news, is there?
Not in the last hour we've been in doing various bits of audio/video. No, it's as you were. So
Max and Jamal won't go, will they, Pad?
They will not go anywhere. And if they do go anywhere, they'll be back here on loan. There, you've heard it first.
Fair play. And it would take a shed load of money to book to cool
as well. So as well.
Probably not the 15 million quid some Palace fans are hoping that they'll get from Max Aarons. Okay, well, we're all done. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and watching. We always appreciate it. We will be back with you at some point during the summer. Maybe when we've got some transfer news. Sure. That'd be a good time to do it, wouldn't it? But in the meantime, thank you so much, Pete.
Cheers, Michael.
Cheers, Pad.
Michael.
Cheers, Tony. He did say thank you if that didn't come across. You know how to find us as normal, pinken.com. Get your questions, comments in whenever you like, and we always make sure we check through those. Hello if you're watching on the app. We're not doing an extra time. Tony will just put this up for your lovely viewing pleasure. And the next time we will see you, we'll be even more excited about the Premier League, because it will be that bit closer. Until then, goodbye.